is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Now get ready, because this is going to be good, bad, or ugly. The decision is yours. Ready? Here it goes. There's DC and Daniel. The sandpaper people. Do you know there's people in your life that are abrasive specialists? They think it's God's call to pick you out and pick you apart. They think that God has called them and ordained them to find any fault they can find with you and then beat you up over it until they think you're ready to go to the next beating. Amen? Ever known anybody that you had one beating from them, and then here they go, the next time you're around them, they got you another beating? Amen. Think of it as a beating meeting. Amen. All right. Let's get ready to go here. How many of the people that remind you of this? There's people in the office. There was people in my office at Fountain. You know, when they come in and started talking, it was like I couldn't hear what they were saying, because all I could hear was fingernails on the chalkboard. It wasn't necessarily what they said, it was how they said it. So how many people here, and don't point, please don't point to anybody. How many in here know people that remind you of this? I promise you, we've all got them. We've got them in our past, we've got them in our present, and we've even got them in our future. You can't always avoid these people. So you got to learn how to handle them. Why can't I avoid these people? Because sometimes you work with them. Sometimes they're in your family. Get ready. Sometimes you're married to them. Sandpaper people. And it's tough. So we're going to talk about how we can handle, this could be several weeks now, but how to handle sandpaper people. Amen? Now, I love it. Sandpaper people, abrasive specialists. There are so many of these people in the world, and they are so hard to deal with. So let's just go ahead. I know y'all are itching to find out how to get past the sandpaper people. Now let's get honest and let's get real. All of us can be grumpy. Amen? Somebody asked my wife one day, said, "You wake up grumpy?" She said, "No, I let him sleep in." Amen. All of us can be grumpy, and we can be difficult to live with. Everybody. Look at somebody, say everybody. Somebody look up, somebody be bold and say, "He's talking about me." That's right. That's right. So from time to time, we're going to encounter folks that they behave in the same way we behave, and we don't even realize that they're actually a mirror to show us. I really don't like it when God pulls me out and I go, "Do you see how they're acting, God?" And he goes, "You're looking in the mirror." So how do you deal with sandpaper people? And you're going to. So we're going to talk about it for the next few weeks, about how to deal with sandpaper people. I'm not going to keep you long today. This is the introduction. All right? Now, first things first. If we're going to talk about sandpaper people, we got to understand something. Sandpaper people come in two varieties. Did y'all know that? Sandpaper people come in two categories. They come in difficult, and they come in toxic. And if you don't understand the difference, it will drive you up the wall. Everybody's got difficult people in their family. Everybody's got toxic people in their family. So watch this, the difficult people. Difficult people, they believe that they're right. Come on now. that they believe that they are right, and they have a hard time listening to others. Somebody say, quit stepping on my toe, Pastor. All right. They're calloused to the way they treat others. They've done it so much and so often. You know, a callous is a place that usually when you first start doing something, you get blistered. And after a while, that blister, which hurts and is sensitive, gets calloused over. And once it gets calloused over, you can't even tell that it's there. So some folks, they had the blister, but their blister grew over, it's calloused, and they don't understand, don't even see that they're being difficult. The sad thing is, it's hard for them to change. And those are hard for them to change. They usually don't even know they're being difficult. And so sometimes God gives you the assignment in a good way to let them know that they're being difficult. And when you do this, you might as well go ahead and get you a hard hat and steel toes and a chest protector. Because when you try to tell them this, they're going to say, no, you're wrong. That's you or that's somebody else. So, once you try to address this, if you're not careful, a difficult person can become toxic. Now, what's a toxic person? A toxic person, here they are, they're similar. A toxic person believes that they are right. The same way a toxic person has a hard time listening to others, they're always right. Matter of fact, it's kind of hard to even talk because as you're talking, they're talking over you. I remember saying not long ago, I'm trying to say something and the difficult person is talking over me. And so I finally said, I'm sorry to interrupt you while you're interrupting me. But can I finish my point? So, they're not just calloused in their ways. They're controlling in their ways. They want to control the room. They want to control the temperature. They want to be the thermostat. They decide if everybody's hot or if everybody's cold. And when they come in, you can tell the toxic people because honestly, by the time you get through with them, you're going to feel like you have been whooped. You have been whipped and put up wet to dry. So now, difficult people find it hard to change. Toxic people want to change you. There's a difference. Difficult people, they're having a really, really hard time. But a toxic person says, if anybody's going to change, it's going to be you. And the difficult people usually don't know they're being difficult. But the toxic person knows they're being difficult. Amen? And they are also difficult. So a toxic person is toxic and difficult. A difficult person is difficult but can become toxic. So we got to remember this. I'm not going to keep you long today. Philippians 4:12. There is a way which seemeth right to a man. It appears straight before him, but at the end of it is the way of death. I can be counseling somebody, I can be talking to somebody, and I can be trying to show them the right way, and they go, no, I got this. And they just go away. And then in a couple months, they come back and go, what was it you were telling me? Because they realize that they were wrong, but they were so caught up in it that they thought that they were the right ones. So, there is a way. You think it's right. But if you're not careful, it'll lead to destruction. Let's see here. It gets back here. There we go. Now, sandpaper people. When people hurt you over and over, think of them as sandpaper. They scratch and they hurt you, but in the end, you were polished, and they're used up. Think about it. That's powerful. you're polished, and they are all used up. So now, here we go. You got to realize something. Amen? Here it is. Get ready. Sandpaper people are part of your life. You cannot live this world. You cannot know three people. Matter of fact, I promise you, if there's three people in here, one of them is sandpaper people to some degree. Matter of fact, I want you to look to the left. And I want you to look to the right. And if they're not sandpaper people, you can't always avoid these people. And if you don't deal with them correctly, wow, they will sap your energy. They will weigh you down. But if you deal with them correctly, both of y'all will be better. Did you hear what I said? If you deal with a sandpaper person correctly, both of you will be better off in the long run. If you do it right. If you do it wrong, that person's going to think they got it, and they're going to look at you and say, you ain't got it. But if you do it right, both of you will be better off. So, let's get this. Oh, here we go. Number one, when you're dealing with sandpaper people, number one, make sure you're not the one doing the sanding. Make sure you're not the sandpaper person. We so many times blaming everybody in the room when it's us. Skunk went in a room one day and was smelling all around and said, something stinks in here. Who was it? The skunk. Grandpappy. The kids loved to spend the summer with him. And Grandpappy had a great old big muscle, a big old handlebar mustache. Always had it. It was great old big, and it went up on the sides like this. And one day they decided they were going to have some fun because Granddaddy loved to take naps. So one day Granddaddy was taking naps, and the two grandchildren got some Limburger cheese and rubbed all in his mustache. He woke up and went, something stinks in his bedroom. So he gets up, walks in the living room, says, it's got to be better. And he goes, man, it stinks in the bedroom. I mean, the living room too. He said, maybe in the kitchen. So he goes in the kitchen and goes, it stinks in the kitchen. Now, maybe I got to go outside to get a breath of fresh air. So he goes outside and he goes, he said, just as I thought, the whole world stinks. Have you got Limburger cheese in your mustache? Wow. that's a tough one. That's a tough question. So get ready. The problems that you have with other people, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the origin might be within your own heart. You've been hurt, you've been beat up before, or you got your mind made up, and when they begin to talk to you, you automatically assume that they're going to hurt you too, or you automatically assume that they're going to make changes that you can't be equipped for, and so as they're trying to help you, you push it away. And then you even get abrasive because you're assuming that these people are going to be just like the people that hurt you. So sometimes the origin of the sandpaper people may be you, and it may be in your own heart. So if it is so, you got to fix yourself first. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, we just read it. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That each of you look look at other people's interests. Praise God. How many's ever had bifocals? Aren't they fun? Especially around steps and ladders. They're really fun. But also the interest of others. Let's break her down. You ready to break it down some? Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Wow, isn't that something? If you do that, I promise you, that's going to make a big, big, big dent. Now, I got to look up something. My wife sent me something last night, and I got to see if I can find it. There we are. Let's see here. There we go. I got it now, so I can pull it up. Ready? Sandpaper people. Don't try to change them. Don't try. You can't change people. You can be an example. You can lead them, but you cannot change them. If you try to change somebody, usually it doesn't work out too good. But you see, people change when they want to, not when you want them to. Remember that. People change when they want to, not when you want to. Because we don't know how to break them. We don't know where to break them or how much we need to break them. This is God's job. My wife sent this to me last night. I wonder if she was talking about me. Get ready. No one changes unless they want to. Not if you beg them. Not if you shame them. Not if you use reason, emotion, or tough love. There's only one thing that makes someone change: their own realization that they need to do it. And there's only one time it will happen, and that's when they decide that they are ready. For it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So consider this. Sometimes the sandpaper person may be God's sandpaper person. Somebody griping your nerves and they're getting on you, making you... Maybe God's using them to sand off some rough edges around you. Maybe he's using that sandpaper person to polish you up. God could be changing you. So I thank God that he does this. Philippians 2:13, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will to work for his good pleasure, his satisfaction, and his delight. I'm getting ready to close. So just the introduction. I'm gonna make this a little shorter introduction than I did last time. Y'all gonna fall out when you get to McDonald's and you beat the Baptist. Ready? DC, can you come play something, bro? We're getting ready to get out of here. I said getting ready. Don't sandpaper me. All right. Be thankful for the difficult people in your life, for they have shown you who you don't want to be. Over the years, I've had people that I trusted, that I loved in the ministry, that I supported, and when the chips got down or when things got rough, they turned on me. And the first time that something major like that happened, I almost quit the ministry that I was just getting started in. My district overseer and my pastor were at odds with each other. I weren't even there. I was building a church somewhere else, but they were going at it. And I was trying to get my license and get my stuff in the Church of God. I just got an internship program, already pulled a year. It's a hard road. And because the overseer told my pastor what he was going to do, my pastor got upset. And to get back at him, he attacked me. I hated it. I couldn't believe it was happening. Matter of fact, I was in my car one day. My wife was driving. And I was laid back in my seat And I was crying. I was crying. I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. I'd been there for that guy. I'd helped him. When everybody was trying to hurt him, I helped him. I was there for him. And it was a blatant attack. Not a sideways, right dead on attack. And my wife said, just give it to God. I said, I have. And there I was in that seat crying, and I looked up to heaven, and I said something that I shouldn't have said, but at the same time, I'm glad I did. I said, God, you said you know everything we're going through, and you've been through all things like we are, yet without sin. I said, but this time, you don't understand what I'm going through. You have no idea what I'm going through, God. I can't believe what I'm going through. And you have no idea. And God said one word, just one, and shut me up. He went to my ear and he whispered, Judas. And from that day on, I started to heal. And it took several years before that guy would even talk to me again. But I kept trying and I kept trying. And finally, God took care of it. And we became good friends again. Because I refused to live with that kind of feeling in my heart. Lord, teach me to let go of all my plans and follow yours. Your plans are always better than mine. Jeremiah 29:11, the Message version says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. Even when you can't see it, God is working things out for your good. I'm about to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Everybody in here knows sandpaper people. Some of those sandpaper people you can avoid, but some of them you can't. Maybe you are the sandpaper person. And maybe God has opened your eyes this morning. This is just the intro. There's a lot, it goes a lot deeper. This is the year of no excuses. When you stand before God, you just can't say they're sandpaper people, God. The year of no excuses. I dare you this week to spend time by yourself with God. And first ask Him to reveal to you, are there places that you are the sandpaper? And then ask Him, first, if you're the sandpaper person, repent. If you know sandpaper people, ask God to help you to pray for them and to love them. And I challenge you to take the sandpaper out of your hands and ask God to help you be the glue. Not the sandpaper, but the glue. In His hands. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. First off, is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure about being sandpaper, but I know one thing. I'm not where I should be with God. And before I can fix anything, I got to get right with God. That's got to be number one. If you're here today and you would say, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you would say, I need to work on me. God, I need you to touch me in a special way. I need to rededicate myself to you. I need you to come into my life and to change it. While nobody's looking around, would you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor, because I need to be there. Bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. Maybe you know some sandpaper people, and you're needing God to give you wisdom to handle them because it's driving you up the wall. You just want to walk away, not realizing that God is cleaning you up and polishing you while at the same time he can use you to help be an agent of change with the sandpaper people. If you got people in your life that's actually driving you crazy, they're hurting you, they're sandpaper people, instead of just walking away, will you ask God to give you wisdom on how to handle them? If you got sandpaper people in your life and you need God to help you, put your hand up. Nobody's looking around. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we're going to say a very powerful prayer together, all of us. Say it with me. Father, you see more than I see. You know more than I know. You can do more than I can do. Right now, I rededicate myself and my life to you. Help me, God, to be able to handle the sandpaper people in my life with your wisdom. Also, God, help me to take the sandpaper out of my own hand. And Father, I trust you to do a very powerful work this week in my life. No excuses. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, and amen. God is so awesome. Come back next week, and we're going to talk some more about sandpaper people. Also, it started last Tuesday. I've been talking about it, but last Tuesday it started. We're actually having like a little Bible college going on here because we've been doing just Bible studies, but this is a 13-week semester course. And this is in hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is a fancy word that means the science of Bible interpretation or how to study your Bible. This is not Lee University level. This isn't even, don't be afraid, because it's not even community college level. This is more like a high school level. We started last week, and if you missed it and want to see it, it's on YouTube under Every Christian Church channel. I'll be the one teaching behind a pedestal with a cat in my hand. Eddie's cat, I let Eddie's cat in, and that was so beautiful. And he just went ahead, she loved everybody. And I was trying to move so the guy could write, and I picked up the cat and held the cat while I was teaching. Then the cat crawled on Sister Frankie and got on her shoulder and was doing it. All right. So come on, we're in a 13-week course. It may last a longer, but we're going to try to keep it at 13 weeks. And it started last week, and everybody that was here, I hope that you really got something out of it, and I hope that it helps you. And it's going to get deeper and deeper. We really didn't even get started good Tuesday night. The one coming up, we're going to start digging in a whole lot deeper. Amen? Y'all love the Lord? You ready to work for Him? You ready for some sandpaper people? Say, Lord, send them on to me. Bring them on. I like what The Rock said. The Rock says, when you come up with these sandpaper people, these problem people, these problems come against you, don't go, why me, Lord? Say, try me. Amen? So we're going to have some trials. Ready? We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but the